Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 146, first verse. Psalm 146, the first verse. What does it say? It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Look at Psalm 147, verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." Psalm 148, verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights." And then when you run down that, that's angels, hosts, sun and moon, stars, waters above the heavens, everything created. Verse 7, dragons, deeps. Verse 8, fire, hail, snow, vapor, stormy wind. Well, we know about that, don't we? Verse 9, mountains, hills, fruitful trees, cedars, 10, beasts, cattle, creeping things, flying fowl, 11, kings of the earth. All people, princes, judges, 12, young men, maidens, old men, children, let them praise, verse 13, the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent, His glory is above the earth and heaven. Psalm 149, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints." That's what we are tonight. Psalm 150, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power." And that talks about various instruments. Verse 6, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." What do you think? When he's winding up Psalms, he's getting after this thing about praising the Lord. And he talks about doing that in song, with a new song, or singing praises unto our God. So tonight we want to talk about that a little bit. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, our desire always is that the work we do at this time is God-honoring, powerful, saint-edifying work. We pray, Father, tonight that Your word will be magnified, that You'll be glorified, these saints will be edified. The Lord Jesus Christ will be honored. We pray, Father, for our Bible club starting tonight. Surely ask You, Father, that each of the teachers will be filled with Your Holy Spirit to impart words of the Bible to the minds and hearts of the children that have come to study and to participate tonight in the various activities and things that are designed to help them to know the Word of God, to know You. Pray for Tony teaching the teen class tonight, for the work that we do in here, Father, that You would accomplish something great in our souls, great in our hearts. We ask You to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So in this passage, or these passages we've looked at, we keep hearing over and over again, "Praise ye the Lord." And He'll say that, and He'll either end it with a colon, or He'll end it with a period. It's just a statement, "Praise ye the Lord." And when you think about your life, and you consider what we are told to do here about praising the Lord, you know that there are times when you get excited about things that God has done in your life, and there's no restraint. Your immediate response is to praise the Lord because what He's done for you is so good. There are other times when you're more down, you're more pensive, that is thinking, you're more perhaps distressed or depressed. A song doesn't come easily to your lips. Praise doesn't come easily to your lips because there are distractions or there are worries or there are problems or there are things that are weighing down your soul and weighing down your mind. And when those things happen, they become, as we're all so familiar, preeminent and God not so big. And the one thing that God gives us here in these instructions is that we are to praise the Lord. And when you look through the Bible, and we'll look at just a few passages tonight, notice some of the instances in when you see somebody praising the Lord and the circumstances in which they're doing that. We'll go all the way to the back of the Bible. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord told him in Revelation chapter 4, come up hither. And so he came up there, and he said, I will show thee things that must be hereafter. So John was transported, if you can imagine this, beyond the time where we are right now. He was transported past this time and now was looking down upon several things. And in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 8, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So you know that the people that are singing the new song in verse 9 are more than just the 24 elders that have fallen down in verse 8. Those elders represent a much larger group of people who are singing this. And they say in verse 10, it's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels. The Bible says that when we are saved in heaven, we are as the angels of God in heaven, round about the throne of the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. We're talking about millions of people that are up there. What he's seeing? He's seeing us. He's seeing us around the throne because he says, Thou wast, in verse 9, Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's you and me. That's what happened to us. And there we are singing a new song and praising the Lord for his redemption, praising the Lord for his salvation, and praising the Lord because he's the one that's worthy in this case to take this book that was sealed with seven seals. Because nobody else could take it. Nobody else could read it. And they're praising the Lord for that. Well, that seems perfectly normal. To us down here, when we think about things in heaven and we think about the harps and all that, it's perfectly normal for us to imagine all of us there around the throne singing before God. Because we see it here and we understand that everybody there is rejoicing for what the Lord has done in our lives. Certainly when you have an experience of a vivid picture of heaven, that's exciting. That's exciting and it causes rejoicing. Now turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And in Exodus chapter 15, the Israelites have left Egypt. They were being pursued by Pharaoh. And Israel went through the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his chariots and armies followed. Once they got in, you're already very familiar with this in Exodus 14, the congealed water then, if it was frozen, either melted or restrained by God's hand, it collapsed, and all that water came down on the Egyptians very quickly, and they all died, everybody including Pharaoh, in that water. As soon as they saw, verse 31 of Exodus chapter 14, Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. The people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And look what happened right after that. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown in the sea. Not hard to sing when you see a big victory like that. Easy to get excited. At a football game, as soon as somebody scores a touchdown, the band strikes up the fight song or the victory song or the alma mater or whatever song it is that's played, and a lot of people are making their various, you know, whoop, whoop, or this, or that, or whatever in the stands, and some of them know the words and sing the song, you know. Easy to do when there's something exciting to sing about. Easy to do when you imagine that we're all in heaven and all the cares of the world have passed. And so certainly in the time of victory, there's a great reason to rejoice and a great reason to sing. Tonight, while we were going through and praising the Lord about some things that He did, there were praises here that were worthy of the joy of singing because of what God had done. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. And in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas have followed the Macedonian call into Philippi. They have begun to preach, and they ran into trouble. As soon as they cast the devil out of a soothsaying woman who had the spirit of divination, and her masters could no longer make money off of her, then money is the issue. Then they're in trouble. So the magistrates in verse 22, the multitude rose up together against them, against Paul and Silas. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, illegally, by the way, illegally, we find out at the end of the chapter, many stripes were upon them. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Well, the jailer's life is on the line if they escape. So, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. He's not taking any chances. So now they've gone under the direction of the Lord to Philippi. They simply cast the devil out of a woman. They were beaten and stripped and imprisoned, and their feet were fast in the stocks. Not such a good situation. This is not around the throne of heaven. This is not a great victory over Pharaoh and his armies. Verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. What did they do? Then sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, they're singing praises unto God before there's a great earthquake that collapses the prison and opens all the doors where everybody can get out. They're singing praises before the Philippian jailer gets saved in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. They're singing praises before their stripes are washed, before they baptize the jailer and his house, those that have gotten saved. They are singing praises before the magistrates, the sergeants, come down to release them from the prison and tell them that they can then go and be free. They're singing praises while they are still feeling the pain of the stripes, and they are singing praises unto the Lord while their feet are fast in the stocks. That's a little bit tougher to do. But the Lord said, praise the Lord. If you got breath, praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26... You know what's going on in Matthew chapter 26 is we're doing the Lord's Supper now. Judas has been smoked out by the Lord. In verse 25, Matthew 26, 25, Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto me, Thou hast said. Yeah. So Jesus knows, and Judas knows that Jesus knows that Judas is the betrayer. So then Jesus takes bread in verse 26, takes the cup in verse 27, professes this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins in verse 28. Verse 29, I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day which I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He knows what's getting ready to happen. Jesus knows what's getting ready to happen. He is getting ready to experience the darkest day in his entire life. How do you say lifetime? Existence, thank you. Because, I mean, he's eternal. There will never be a darker day in the life of Jesus Christ than the day that he is getting ready to experience when he walks out of that room to go into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in his prayer before the Lord that the cup might pass from him. And then all that happens at his trial, and then all that happens at his crucifixion, and finally his death. All of our sins are placed on him. He becomes sin for us. And how does he begin that day following the Lord's Supper, verse 30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out in the Mount of Olives. That's really something. He sang a hymn before such darkness and way before the resurrection. Paul and Silas, while they were in prison. Moses, after the great victory. Is this not a picture of your life? Episodes of your life, have you not had very, very dark days, the darkest that you could imagine? Have you not had such great victories that you can't imagine heaven being much better than the day that you had? And we've had everything in between that. That's life. That is how life greets us in this earth. They say every mountaintop experience is followed by a valley, and every valley is followed by a mountaintop experience. The highs and lows of life. And everybody goes through them. Now, some may go through with more expression. Some may go through with more feeling. Some may not express outwardly how they feel about these situations at all. It may be that they go through life more reserved. But they still have their highs and they still have their lows, just like these that you've seen. But in every case, you're seeing those that are affected singing songs of praise. Why? Because we are told in the Psalms, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, he had real, I call them rapid fire, like machine gun shot commandments there. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Just bang, 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 bang. Despise not prophesying. Quench not the spirit. Just bang, bang, bang like that. You know how the Psalms end? Praise ye the Lord. Just praise ye the Lord. Now, say, what are we going to do about this? What we're going to do about what we're hearing tonight is what he said. Praise ye the Lord. Have you ever memorized the words to a hymn? I know you have. I'll tell you one I know you know. Jesus loves me. Right? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's such a rinky-dink song. There was an old guy that was 77 years old. Not old. Elderly gentleman. Yeah, seasoned saint. You know, he was on his in his hospital bed, and that's where he was going to end his life on this earth. And somebody came and said, would you like to sing? He said, I really would. He said, I'd like to sing my favorite song. And they said, what's that? He said, Jesus loves me, this I know. That's for children, but not him. He said, it's for me. You see, that's really important because those songs, when you praise the Lord, they get you through. They really do. They temper the highs and they temper the lows and they bring glory to God. They get you through. Listen, you're instructed to memorize Scripture. I would say to you also, memorize the words to the hymns. I should have done a better job memorizing the words to some of the hymns than I've done. Because I'll sit back there sometimes and Joe Petrie will look back at me when I make up something that wasn't there. Sound good to me at the time, you know. I remember when we recently went to do the prison revival in Huntsville and we were in the assistant warden's office getting ready to go out for the preaching and service. And there were, I don't know, a dozen of us in there anyway. One man began to sing and everybody just joined in. And those all knew how to sing, so everybody's singing parts. Surrounded by brick walls and a concrete ceiling. So, you know, it's like 12 people in the shower. The acoustics were unbelievable. And the songs were sung with empathy, with feeling, and slowly so you could really get the words. And I'm telling you, it was like being transported from where we were to where we will be around the throne of God. It was just remarkable. It was so easy to forget where we were and think a lot more about where we're going to be. So I really encourage you to learn to sing. You say, well, I don't sing on key. I don't think that makes any difference. He didn't say, praise ye the Lord on key. He just said, praise ye the Lord. You've heard me say it before. You're the crowd that's always here. But when I first got turned around, I was looking for, I didn't know anything about music. I mean, all I knew was bad stuff. And somebody gave me a tape of Rex Harrison, who's now dead. He had a deep baritone voice. He would play the piano himself and sing. And so he really knew where to add the emphasis with the music. And he sang a lot of the hymns from the hymn book and recorded those. And I got one of those. And at that time, I had a little Walkman. Remember Walkman? Those small cassette players. I had one of those. And then that was designed for headphones. It didn't have speakers. But you could go to Radio Shack and buy speakers about this big. All this stuff is all more state-of-the-art now, but speakers about this big, and plug those into the Walkman, and then you could hear. So anytime I took a shower, I would plug that tape in and turn those speakers up loud, and then I'd go in there, and I would be Rex Harrison with a deep baritone voice. And I'd hear the kids out there out in front of the outside the bathroom door laughing. Listen to Dad. But you know something? The way I had lived my life and to know that I had been redeemed, I needed that time in singing. And I think, you know what I really do? I believe God really appreciated it. He had heard me say some bad things about him, but hadn't heard me say much good about him. And so, praise ye the Lord. Listen, that's a thing we ought to do always, at all times, not just when we come to church. Certainly, he says in the sanctuary, in the congregation of the saints, but that ought to be a part of our life. So what we're going to do is we're going to get our hymn books, and we're just going to sing. I was going to say we could get some accompaniment, but if we do, then we're going to have to sing on key, and the key's too high. And let's get our hymn books and turn to number 49. Let's see, the pulpit mic ought to be on at this point. My mic ought to be off because it may get, I don't know which one I can. There you go. This song is called Our Great Savior. Our Great Savior. And we're not going to rush through it. What we're going to do is we're going to sing. And while we sing, and I don't care how you do it, but while we sing, think very carefully about these words that you're singing. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. That's an amazing thing. Friends may fail me, foes assail me, but he, my Savior, makes me whole. And then what we'll do after verse 1 and verse 3 and verse 5, we'll sing the chorus. The rest of the time, we'll sing 1 and 2. We'll sing 1 in the chorus, then we'll sing 2 and 3 in the chorus, then we'll sing 4 and 5 in the chorus. And we're going to do what Wally used to say. Remember how Wally used to say, just milk the song? The point of that is to really think about what you're singing and while singing, sincerely praise the Lord with the words that are written before you so that this is between you and God. And think about those times when he's been such a friend of yours and such a lover of yours. In verse 2, when he's been such a strength in your weakness. In verse 3, when he's been such a help in your sorrow. Think about that while you're singing. And let's do that. And we'll just go about like this. Gee, that's not high enough for the piano, but that's high enough for us. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a strength in weakness. Let me hide myself in Him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, He, my strength, my victory wins. I jumped out there too bad. We're going to go to three. Jesus, what a help in sorrow. While the billows o'er me roll, even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a guide and keeper. While the tempest still is high, storms about me night o'ertakes me, He, my pilot, hears my cry. Jesus, I do now receive Him more than all in Him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness. I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, thank You for an opportunity to raise our voices in praise to You. We pray that You are pleased. You are worthy. We pray that You are pleased. We ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.